Mike, what are we talking about in today's episode of Moving the Goalposts?
Today we discuss Black Widow and all things MCU.
We give a list, top 10 favorite Marvel movies, or if you're McMichael, top three.
Top three, and then some more, maybe.
Yeah.
Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, rate, review, and tell a friend. Moving the Goalposts, wherever you listen.
You ready?
Ready?
Watch out, Frame Five!
Widow came out 2 days ago. It was available in the theater. It was available on Disney Plus for $30, of which I will
oh yeah,
take care of that for you. We're joined now by Mr. Marvel extraordinaire Andrew McMichael.
Hello.
We need to know. We had to do this special podcast. I think we may have been planning on doing our own, but we wanted to get you in here, make this a quad cast.
Oh, anytime I can sit here and listen to New England sports for 2 hours. Yeah. This is fantastic, guys. Thank you.
All right, McMichael, what did you think of Black Widow?
So ready for this.
So I've been really trying to digest this, and I haven't watched a lot of videos to really break down some of the other things that maybe didn't like catch my eye or that were like not too obvious to me. I want to say it's good. I mean, but to me, it's the allure of the 2 year wait and like watching the content for what it was. For the other stuff that's already come out this past year now, it just felt very out of place. And to me now watching it, non-spoiler, but I mean, like, it doesn't have to do with anything.
Nothing.
Past, current, present. I mean, nothing. So for them to wait this long for it to come out, I think they kind of missed their mark for it to be $30 on TV.
I would definitely say that's sort of the reason I'm scratching my head coming away from this movie is definitely like, why did you have to delay it so long? Like, there was nothing, unless it wasn't finished, which I think it was, there was nothing really groundbreaking that they had to hide right. or keep for spoilers. Again, this was a movie that didn't have to be made. I'm glad they made it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was entertaining. I liked a lot of the humor in it. It's just sort of like I hate to say it, feels like a token movie.
Agreed. And again, when Feige came out this past week saying they're done with the big superstar contracts and stuff, I don't know if this is part of Scarlett Johansson's original contract that she would either have her own movie or her own like breakaway role. Because again, a lot of the other guys are all done with their contracts, meaning Chris Evans and
Steve Rogers.
No.
That is Chris Evans.
Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
No, Chris Hemsworth.
I mean, he's got Love and Thunder coming out. So he's
okay,
still,
but he's not under contract. He's kind of just doing like one-offs, but he's made it known that it's like he doesn't want to go anywhere.
He's a free agent.
Yeah. But unlike like Bucky or Sebastian Stan, he's got some crazy, like they said they were done, but I think before the end of Winter Soldier, he had something like 11 movie or 11 appearance type of.
Even like, what about Anthony Mackie?
But I think,
new Captain America, what are we doing?
But I think that's what it is. They don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
So to me, the thing that drove me nuts about this movie is that, I mean, you have Scarlett Johansson, and again, a very popular, you know, character, I would say, overall in the MCU, not just because of who she is, but actually like, she played pretty good roles like, throughout the movies. I mean, even when they introduced her in the Iron Man roles, like of who she truly was, I think it was good.
Yeah, she was good. She's been good in every movie.
But the problem with this movie is, the cast outshines the star in this movie.
That's fair to say.
Mr. Jim Hopper, you know, from your Hawkins High, you know, Stranger Things allure, you know, I mean, he did fantastic job in this movie. I mean, again, if it wasn't probably for some of his comical lines along with Yelapanova or whatever her name is. I mean, again, a lot of the dialogue I felt was lost without them.
Masala, what are your two cents on the movie?
I actually thought it was good. Like
I agree that
Scarlett Johansson was outshined. Like I thought the biggest part of this movie was I'd never seen a Florence Pugh movie in my life. I think she was amazing in this movie.
Florence Pugh is the sister, right?
Correct.
The sister.
Yelena Belova.
Florence.
Yelena.
Yelena, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Here comes the IMDb.
Right. I thought she was incredible in this movie. And I do think the Red Guardian.
Oh, when she was talking about the fallopian tubes and everything.
Right. Yeah. Well, I just thought everything that she did was really good in this movie.
But Mike, is it because of the dialogue that they gave her? Because remember, she had a lot of the comical one-liners, like almost like that Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, type of, you know, one-liners, like the jokes that made her kind of like pop a little bit more.
Right, but like even in the scenes where she was like it wasn't supposed to be comedic, it was like even in her scenes of when Scarlett Johansson when Black Widow Natasha had said that it wasn't real to her, like the family wasn't real, and then later on she says it was real, like you could use like
yeah, the
I
emotion
loved
I got
the
that.
Emotion
no, that was good.
Of,
yeah.
Of the acting performance that she put on, like I just thought overall I think she was very good. And I think it does, like, obviously the post-credit scene sets up the rest of the coming of, I believe, what's going to happen in the show for Hawkeye. Like, I think that's the plan there. So that's the only thing I could think of why they would have delayed it. Other than that, like, that's...
Then again,
you didn't know who Valentina was before.
But correct. But wouldn't that would have been more of the allure if you would have saw that first 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, and then it went into the Falcon and Winter Soldier and we're like, oh my God, that's her again. And then you really find out who she is.
I still don't know who she is. We still don't know who she is, really. They haven't totally explained what her character is. She's still kind of in the dark a little bit. Like, she's a good guy, right? Like, that's kind of what we've established.
Well, definition of good, like she's a right. government official. So
good guy as in like she would be SHIELD, not Hydra SHIELD.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. There's still a lot to uncover with her.
Yeah.
Like I we're not done yet. So she first appeared in Falcon and Winter Soldier, and then she appeared in like the end credit scene in the final Falcon and Winter Soldier when they introduced like US Agent. And then she appears in this end credit scene.
Correct.
At what point are we supposed to be like, wow, she's this like really threatening character. Or she knows what's going on. Or she like, there is a lot to uncover.
See, I kind of like got that with her. With, oh God, what the hell's her?
Valentina? Val?
No.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
Yeah.
Elaine?
I'm excited about the character because like, what are we, you know, when she says to USA, you know, we're not going to need a Captain America. We're going to need a US agent.
Yeah.
It's like, it makes you think, all right, what's US agent's involvement going to be? And like, are we going to get, here we go, forgetting another name. What the hell's the group's name that I'm thinking of?
It's either the Thunderbolt or the Dark Avengers.
The Thunderbolts.
But Thunderbolt are done by Ross, which right. You only see him for like 5 minutes in the beginning of the movie, which was kind of a letdown to me also.
Mm.
Yes. And did he look a little CGI to you guys?
He looked old.
Correct. But so the thing what I think they're setting up for and her making those comments is that he eventually does the experiments on himself with the gamma ray, with red gamma radiation. And yeah. That's how he becomes the Red Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
And that's what like is part of the Thunderbolt. So I think they're little tiny Easter eggs. Yes, correct. I mean, because like I said, between Dark Avengers and Thunderbolts, that's where Zemo, US Agent, Black Widow, that's where they all kind of join those
too,
groups.
Right?
Taskmaster eventually, too.
We got to talk about that later because I'm sorry.
But I do want to say one thing on what Mike said. Mike, the one thing I will give props on it, though, I think from like what you said, because of the acting of her, they did a great job of passing the torch of the Black Widow mantle, I would say.
Right. And I think that's a lot about what this is about. And I feel like that's what a lot of this beginning part of the phase through the TV and through the movies has kind of been we're switching this, like we're moving on. Like this is what happened in the first three phases. And we're getting into a new part of the story. And we're finally getting introduced to like this new group of people. And you have Val putting together a team of people who, what is she going to do with them? As you said, like, is it going to be a Thunderbolt situation? Is it going to be a Dark Avengers situation? Like we don't know. I think like I'm excited for that potential, but it's all coming, and they're bombarding us with so much content that you almost really don't get a chance to like sit back and think about it because it's all coming out so quickly.
Well, and that's what's so difficult is trying to place this movie with the rest of them and place this movie among the TV series that have been coming out in terms of quality and importance to the franchise. Because I guess it really hasn't been up until now where I've been hearing you guys talk about it, thinking this movie was made to set things up. This is for a future movie.
Well, that's what you're so used to getting with Marvel, right?
No, I'm kind of used to getting just the next part of the chapter. I'm not.
No,
it's
but
not
that's what I'm
all
about.
Yeah,
you're used to like being set up for the next thing. Like with this movie, I mean, I got a huge James Bondish like feel to it, like the intro and everything.
I love.
And she was even watching. She was even watching James Bond. It was pretty good.
Can we talk about the intro first? I loved the intro to this movie. I thought that was the perfect way to establish like the emotion and the background of the character as like a child and not totally knowing what's going on, but sort of being able to figure it out.
It was very, I know you don't watch it, the Americans on FX.
Yeah. I'm
familiar with it.
The beginning of how it started was like, that's the first thing that came to mind. I didn't watch it, but my fiance and my sister were fans of that show. And I know from like Kerry Russell, like kind of like being in that TV role for a long time, like that's exactly like the feeling that I got from every trailer that I've ever seen from like that show.
And the redone version of Nirvana, I thought hit like it was on point.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that part of it. And you guys watched it on TV, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Did you go to the theater?
I went to the theater. It was awesome. Like
I might go back and watch it in the theater.
I'm thinking
again.
About it too. Yeah.
Like it just because you could tell, you just missed the feeling. You missed the effect of it.
But so this is the thing to me, right? So like if you don't have the opportunity to go to the movie, right, because of the sound, and some of those other things, like again, more likely than not, you're going to watch it on a home television eventually, or it was going to eventually be accessible to you at that point, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's the difference. So my number one movie in Marvel world, as we broke down the movies earlier before we started doing all this, I said Thor Ragnarok was my favorite because the mood, the pitch, everything that they changed the MCU was literally from that movie and like the direction of where they're now going. And I think it's been like phenomenal. But like when me and my fiance went to go see it, we went to IMAX, we messed up, we ended up getting it in 3D. I forgot my glasses at home, so it was even worse. So trying to watch it with 3D glasses without my prescription glasses and watching it, I still left that movie theater being like, this movie was fucking great. Right.
Yeah, that's
my concern with this is that like even after the TV shows that we watch, like even like WandaVision, like my body wants to say, no, that was like good, but I'm still disappointed from what I saw. Falcon and Winter Soldier. No, I'm not satisfied with it. And right now, Loki is definitely like breaking into my top five right now,
Ben
like depending what this final episode Wednesday.
Yeah.
Black Widow, again, awesome fighting scenes. The sequences were amazing. Very John Woo-ish, especially in the apartment when the Black Widows were first going at it. John Woo is an old Japanese movie director that did a lot of your action 90s movies. Oh, God. The DMX Jada Kiss movie. Jet Li movie. A lot of Jet Li movies he did. And a lot of... I can't remember the other actor.
Oh, wait a minute. I think he did Aquaman. I'm looking it up. I'm looking it up.
I don't think so. Maybe.
What did you guys think? What did you guys think about the Taskmaster twist?
I want to be careful in saying that I didn't really like it.
Well, No. I don't want to hear this. Don't worry about being canceled from this culture right now.
No, but
like,
it's just, I didn't like it.
Yeah,
good. I didn't like it either.
It wasn't good.
It had nothing to do with her being a female character at all.
Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't even thinking about it like that. I was just saying, like, that bitch should have been dead as a kid.
Well, a lot of the backlash I've been reading on the media, on social media.
Well, she should have. She got fucking blown up.
I know.
I agree.
And only her face to be correct. Like, what did you resurrect her? You throw her in a fucking Lazarus pit or something?
Yeah,
like,
correct. I agree with that. Yeah.
I liked the villain. Like, the big bad guy, the one who was like a wicked prick
but you didn't get any closure with that too, which I would expect an end scene for that, because when they leave her, it's just like, wait a minute, now she has her free conscience after 20 years. Just like how
she
was just sitting there with the little girl or at the end where they were hugging her being like, oh, everything will be okay. And that was
but they took the when all the other Black Widows and Alexi and they're all getting on the plane together, they say, don't worry, like, she's coming with us.
I know, but and I get where they're kind of going with it, that maybe Mama Black Widow can kind of then maybe like help her computer program her.
Because doesn't
she
say, like, she says to Natasha, she's like, is he gone?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's gone. Like, is that like a good is he gone or a bad is he gone?
I think it's a good. And we kind of talked about that. Yeah. You know which part we're talking about? When
right. Yeah. I had that exact same feeling watching it.
Oh, I didn't think for a second it was a bad is he gone. Like, this is sort of like the weight being lifted off my shoulder, this burden that's being taken away from me because he's dead.
And the way that they leave her would be exactly the perfect type of situation for Ross or Val to come in, because, again, her mentality is assassin killer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have nothing else. So my only problem with it is, if we go back, guys, and for the movies that it was, that character and how they implemented them into the video games, the Spider-Man, Miles Morales, I think, and the last Spider-Man game, Taskmaster was a villain or someone you had to fight, I believe, in the game. And then also in some of the other games, like, they've been promoting that character a lot. They've been putting that character out there. My problem is with the development of that character, because if you go back to, like, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Ghost's character, they totally, like, you talk about dropping the ball, as we talked about in villains on, you know, the last collective podcast, like, you know, Marvel has this big problem with its villains and how to really develop them and really have a following behind them. And, you know, for some of your smaller villain roles like Ghost and Ant-Man and the Wasp, that character development was phenomenal. And same thing, she's another one of those characters that is in Thunderbolts / Dark Avengers also, but then she has a lot deeper story. Like, the movie was like kind of about her.
Well, right? I actually think through the first like two phases of the MCU, the only villains that survived were Loki.
Killmonger.
No, Killmonger died.
Well, we don't really know. There's no body.
What do you mean there's no body?
I mean, he got pushed off, but you don't know what happened to him.
Pushed off by who?
Didn't he get like pushed
no,
off?
No, he was like being consoled by T'Challa after. He like literally died in his arms.
Yeah, well, because T'Challa was like, hey, we can help you. And he's like, nah, death is, you know, like...
Didn't he, like, wash away into, like, the water or something?
No, I think you're thinking of Luke Skywalker.
No, he literally, like, said, like... Because he was talking about, like, you know, I'm going to... Like, my ancestors threw themselves off the slave ships because they even they knew death was better than bondage. Like, he knew he was just going to go to jail.
Yeah.
What he did. So we just, you know,
tell Loki.
But it's like, it's tough to develop good villains if you keep fucking killing them off all the time. But, Masala, where would you, if you had to, not that you need to give me like a solid ranking, although I think you have it, but if you were going to place this movie, where would you place it?
Right. We did have a conversation about that prior. I think it's, for me, it's like right around the middle.
Well, how many movies are there?
There's 24 movies now.
There's 24 movies. And if I did out my rankings and I had before we did this, I had it at 12. Like, I think it's right in the middle of this. And it's not like anything below 21 is bad. Like, I still think a lot of these movies are overall... Nick's gonna actually do the math and
which pull
movies
my
are
list
bad
out and be
movies.
Like, no, yeah.
Like, to me, like, there have been like one or two like bad movies in this franchise, and the other ones I think have been okay, at least okay.
Yeah, see, I keep my list on hand just in case I ever get into a conversation with somebody. I want to be able to whip it out.
Just like the greatest quarterbacks I'd ever play in the NFL.
I don't need a list for that. There's only
one.
There's only one. But same as you, I'd probably put it like somewhere in the middle, maybe a little bit more into like the 75th percentile. Maybe if I'm doing that right, maybe more like the 25th percentile. I've got it like 16, 17, 18. So I put it around like Iron Man 2, the first Spider-Man movie, and the first Thor movie. Like, it's around there. Captain Marvel is around there. Doctor Strange is around there. I also like Iron Man 2. Like, I know a lot of people don't, but I think it's...
Doctor Strange is higher on my list.
Doctor Strange is higher on your list?
The first Spider-Man is higher on my list. It's, like, probably in my top 10.
I've only seen the second Spider-Man once, but I like it better than the first one. I just think it's bigger. And
I don't think that I don't like the Spider-Man movies. It's just for some reason that...
They're not
like,
Tobey Maguire movies. That's why.
It just hasn't grabbed... Yeah. Because, like, Michael Keaton being the Vulture... Like, the first one is good, actually, Mike, now that you're calling it out, thinking about it. Like... I think I do think about the first one more than the second one because the second was like that was a school vacation, right?
With Mysterio.
I think it had maybe a better ending.
Probably.
But I think the overall story of it, I think definitely the first movie was better. But again, same thing. Like when even just thinking overall of what those were, like those were those movies to me. Black Widow, again, to me, like how you said, very James Bondish, Mian. To me, like, how do you mess up, like, again, like a war story? Like, I mean, like, every single station and network puts out like 8 of these movies a month right now. Like Netflix put out 4 of these movies like last week. Like, so it's like, to me, to like be a Disney Marvel property and kind of just miss the ball on if this is the farewell to Black Widow or Scarlett Johansson's character and some of these other things. Like, I don't know. Like, cause again, honestly, what concerns me, Angela Bassett, like yesterday or 2 days ago, right? So all this stuff of like, oh, Black Widow did like 14 million or 15 million on Thursday night for the 4 or 5 hours that it was actually released for movie theaters or whatever it was. She was like, we're like on our 5th script for like Black Panther 2.
Yeah.
And I heard there's another one coming again right now. So like I've been saying on like, you know, previously talking to you guys and in the other podcast, like that's what concerns me right now is that you're switching and altering too much of what your formula originally was to kind of fit whatever narrative is going with the current stream on media right now. So that's what's concerning me is that you might be actually ruining good intellectual properties right now to try to fit again a social narrative, and that'll be kind of disappointing.
Yeah, then you do run the risk of the movie no longer becoming timeless if you make it like really specific to what's going on in the 2020s.
But I mean, who Black Widow connected to, right? Again, I mean, even in the TV series of Falcon and Winter Soldier, the very first episode, I mean, at least we got friggin' Rhodey.
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, no Tony Stark, and this is a movie in between this time period in Civil War.
And he's listed on the cast list.
Hold on. I have a thing about that.
They cut him.
Right. So the freaking, I'm not saying, the black guy who's
Agent. That's what he's casted as, Agent.
So he got all this random shit, like in the beginning of the movie for Natasha, right? Okay, makes sense. Some small stuff. At the end of the freaking movie, he's able to swing a fucking Quinjet.
Yeah.
A Quinjet.
Yeah.
Did he just call up the, you know, hey, Tony, you just got a spare Quinjet that I could borrow? Wonder who you're buying this for. I was expecting Tony to be like, because at the end of Civil War, he hangs up on Ross. He's like, oh, I have no idea what's going on. And then I have the flip phone from Tony that I'm going to use in Infinity War. Or Banner actually uses it. I was expecting Tony to just, here are the keys, keep this under wraps, go do what you got to do. We're probably going to come back someday.
It would have been the nice scene to be like, I know who you're getting this for. Sure, here you go. Like, it was one of those, like, winks or nods of saying, like,
right?
I understand what happened, but it's for the greater good or cause, so I get it.
Because you got that from Tony at the end of Civil War. He was like, yeah, you know what? We're probably going to come back together one day because we know what's coming.
And then the scene of them going to Tony's house in the woods in Infinity would have been, like I said,
because more, Natasha it would have made more sense. That,
correct.
You know, those were the first two Avengers.
Correct.
That we saw. Are you fucking kidding me, Marvel? Like, you want to drop the ball on something? Jesus Christ. Like, at least make it make sense, but don't have some random asshole just come out of nowhere and just, oh, I got a Quinjet for you. Like, who are you?
I mean, the way that you're breaking it down, you are correct now, because again, you go back to Falcon and Winter Soldier, the TV show, you will get Zemo to go find a super soldier. Okay. You're trying to find the Red Room that is floating in the fucking clouds. Like, and again, no problem. I just got my, you know, Russian connects, and that's all that I need.
Yeah.
I'm confused. Winter Soldier, you don't have those same connects, my guy? You didn't know about the Crimson Dawn and, you know.
The Crimson Dawn.
Red Guardian?
Yeah, Red Guardian. That would be a hell of a crossover if they pull in the Crimson Dawn.
Best part of the movie.
He was the best part of the movie.
Sorry. There's just.
The scene where he's getting into the costume.
Yeah.
And just struggling. Like, we've all been
very relatable. Very relatable.
Yeah, I was just about to say, we've all been there at one point. We have all grown.
And his character, like, 360. Like, he's very serious and, like, you really don't know a lot about him at the beginning of the movie. And then he's all of a sudden, like, greater than Captain America and all this other crap.
Very, like, egotistical.
Yeah, they did a
very good job of making him out to be kind of a bad, like obviously a bad guy in the beginning because his daughters get taken away and he's just kind of like, okay, cool. And then reversing it to where he is one of your favorite characters in the movie. I think they did a great job with that, like very quickly.
This is what I'll say. I'll jump on the negativity bandwagon for a little bit. My only gripe with the movie, because I didn't have like really big expectations, I was kind of going into it just saying whatever I get, I get, and I was satisfied with what I got. But the stakes really didn't feel that big. Like,
well, because you knew who, like, who had to survive,
right?
Yeah. Like, but you knew where this was in the whole scenario. Like, you knew Natasha was going to die.
But even still, but even if you know who's going to survive, you still are trying to take down like the Black Widows. And again, this is
and they're all over the world, guys. Right. Like, there's a screen that there's again a million secret agents out there, and like, this is not, again, this is the job of Black. Like what I was saying on the other podcast, like Kang's character for Ant-Man, like, look at who you fought, but like, you could barely take care of Yellow Jacket, but now you're gonna fight a future time traveler, like with massive amount of technology. Like, some of these villains sometimes don't match up with like who they're going against without the help of the other group.
That's kind of comic books, though.
But I mean, like I said, if Rhodey showed up in a goddamn, you know what I'm saying, War Machine outfit to help take down, so like, I'm not saying that Thor had to show up or so, like something that's ridiculously like OD to,
yeah,
for
you
the
don't
situation.
Need a god.
Correct, but to not have Falcon or Winter Soldier, or have, I get the time period of what was going on, even introduce a new character that we don't even fucking know then, you know what I'm saying, like,
so, well, they did,
but not to a help level of like going back to Falcon and Winter Soldier, Sharon Carter. I mean, what the hell does Sharon, I mean, like even Sharon Carter showing up to even being who she was in that show, Natasha had nobody but
her family,
and again, kind of half-assed, like, it wasn't even like, so all these other agents are trained just like you, but again, no one can shoot straight. So all these Black Widows are supposed to be the best assassins on the earth. No one can shoot anybody. Like, when they're hunting these people down and fighting. Like your Red Room is not that great. I'm just saying. Like Scarlett Johansson must have been the best one, because then after that, it seems like the scale is going to go downhill after that.
Yeah, all right. So I do have a question, though, and I'm glad I got three people that can possibly answer it for me. Scarlett Johansson's character, like Natasha, she was never brainwashed, right? Or was she? That wasn't super clear to me.
That ever?
Yes, it was. It was in the movie theater. So they said right after Natasha is when they started to figure out how can no one ever escape again. And that's when they came up with the neurotoxin. And then that's when, right, they were sitting at the table, the other Black Widow was starting to get all emotional, being like, you used it on me. And they were like, oh, I didn't know that. And then that was that conversation.
So how old was Natasha when she escaped? She was like,
Budapest.
Yeah. Remember Budapest. That was her out.
Budapest.
Okay.
I think I texted you.
So, but up side. Until then, there had to be something, though, that would have got them to be so disciplined.
Yeah, like, I think fear. I mean, I think literally it was again, getting your ovaries ripped out. Like, I think all that other stuff was fine, except for we give you a toxin that you don't have, like, self-control anymore.
But they didn't do that originally.
But it was, remember, like, so they kind of talked about, like, the experiments and what they did was kind of, like, Winter Soldier-ish also. Right. So, again, so some of the maybe
With the Winter Soldier, he was being brainwashed.
But
he wasn't doing it voluntarily.
But verbally, not chemically. So, again, maybe to a certain degree, maybe Natasha was, like, because of the discipline and the routine that you went through, you just, like, think military.
Yeah.
Like, even when military dudes get out of the military, they're very, like, still.
That's, yes. Yeah. That's kind of what I was expecting, but they never really, like, got into it.
And she does have some type of control because she has to break the nerve in order to hit him. Like, she has something.
Well,
that's
a pheromone, though. No, that was anybody who smelt it. It was like a certain, like, pheromone chemical.
But it was only for Black Widows.
I don't know if they really
like that. I think they said that. I think he was like, it's like a pheromone that only works against Black Widows.
Yeah, maybe then.
So, again, like, severing a nerve in your, I thought it was supposed to be like in her forehead, by the way. I didn't know it was supposed to be your nose. Like, you just fucking, like, that hurts way more than you played on. I don't care if
I mean, maybe that's the reason why she sacrificed herself. I mean, you couldn't have any kids. It took out all your ovaries. You just destroyed your smelling mechanism, so you can't smell anymore.
Probably can't taste.
Yeah, so, I mean,
what's the point in living? Yeah, that is a good question, though. Now that we've really gotten to know about Natasha's background, the sacrifice that she makes in Endgame, like, it still makes sense. We talked about it a little bit after we watched the movie, but I always looked at it as she was sacrificing herself because she knew that Clint had a family and she had no one. But now, coming out of this movie, I realized that she was really embracing everyone as family now. Like, just people that she was close with, she considered to be family. It was no longer, I need to have
nothing
like a mother and a
family.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Are you? Yeah. Masala got it.
Yep.
I've seen two of them now. Fast and the Furious.
Very lucky.
To only see two of them?
I've never seen any of them.
Oh, yeah, we got to get you on
so,
it.
So, Masal, the other day I sent out this meme because, again, it's been flooded all over goddamn social media with Vin Diesel. So it was one of them was Omni-Man. And it was Vin Diesel's car, and it was like, oh yeah, with the power of family, we can go against any force. And it was just, I sent it out, and me and got it right away. And Nick was like, I don't get it. And we were like, oh, come on, man. Like you got to understand that, like, cause like I said, a couple weeks ago on the podcast, the other one, I said that Universal was really trying to gear the Fast and the Furious franchise to go into a Jurassic Park. And I was like, that would be the most amazing thing ever, because like, what else can you know, like, literally, what else are you gonna do?
You know,
like,
what I saw as a crossover, somebody made as a meme, the scene from Endgame where Captain Marvel is making her entrance and Tony looks up and he goes, Friday, what is that? Something's coming out of the atmosphere. They took the scene from like one of the latest Fast and Furious movies where the cars are coming out of the sky and heading down towards the ground, like their parachutes and everything. I was just
so Nick made it his agenda to make sure that by the weekend he was going to understand what that meme was.
Yeah, I was like, by the end of the month, I'll make it my duty to understand what all these memes are. I got two movies into the franchise, and I was like, okay, I get it. And the second movie doesn't have anything to do with the first one.
Vin Diesel's not even in it.
And he's not even in it. Yeah, but I was like, I think I get the picture.
If anything, you should have watched like Fast Five. That's where he really like gets into
the game. Where it takes off.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's the one right before Paul Walker dies, right? Fast Six.
No, I think Fast Five was when they're in Brazil. That's Hobbs's first
that's your favorite one, yeah.
appearance, and then the sixth one is when Hobbs comes back. He's like, I need like all of you guys now.
Hobbs and Shaw, is that another one, or is that like a spinoff?
But it's like, yeah,
horrible.
We've literally got universes on top of universes. And then I wrote a note because I was thinking about doing like reviews after.
Name the last good Dwayne the Rock Johnson movie.
Name the first good Dwayne the Rock Johnson movie. I've never seen it.
So Game Plan, good, great movie.
The Rundown. I like The Rundown.
The Rundown.
The Rundown was with Stifler. And Stifler's like in the jungle, and
I know what you're talking about.
The Rock is like a bounty hunter, and he has to go like find him. But then, when he finds out why, because of the fall, like whatever the story is, like they end up coming like teaming up or whatever it was. But I kind of like enjoy like if so. So I would say this is like if you replace like Kevin Hart, the Kevin Hart movies with him, and like you go back to again like. Who was kind of the funnier person back then? You could start to see like where The Rock is like now today, like the growing progression of the movies that he's been doing. But I do like The Rundown. Sorry, like that's I'm not usually a big fan of his, but I did.
I think
like
if I had to pick a movie that The Rock's been in that I've enjoyed, it's probably like, The Game Plan is really the only one that I can think of. But the best movie, haven't seen it. It's probably Moana.
Oh, that's a great movie.
I haven't seen it, but I mean, it's probably that one, right?
It's a great movie.
But
I love that movie.
You're welcome.
I'll even say non-movie. the first two seasons of Ballers, I think he did a really good job on Ballers on HBO.
Okay.
The last two seasons were absolutely like just ridiculousville, and it was just so crazy from like where it started to where it ended. But like when he first came onto the scene, and I think that's what really started like breaking him into Hollywood again was like doing that first season of Ballers. I really liked it because then if you look at the people who came out of that show again, I mean you got Mr. Denzel Washington's son, you know, Ricky Jared, who I was like, who the hell is this loudmouth asshole who plays wide receiver to a T, and comes out to be like I'm the biggest movie star in Hollywood right now. So that was pretty awesome.
This is all going over my head. I've never seen Ballers.
You should watch Ballers.
Is it the first two seasons you said are worth it?
Only so again, spoiler for the last season, like The Rock becomes like Nick, you're not even gonna get there. Like, you're not even gonna get
literally
there.
Like not even gonna I've never get. Seen it. Spoilers for the last season.
Well, he goes from being an agent to then owning a fucking football team. That's how crazy it gets in 4 years. In 4 years. I forgot. He became fucking Elon Musk. Yeah.
All right, Mike, I know that you've made a list and you've made a top 10. I've got my top 10 ready to go. Andrew.
I got three.
Andrew's. I don't know if you guys have a top 10, top five, top three.
I could
but
try to spin some off. I might get yelled at.
We're going to start. We'll start at 10. And then when you guys feel comfortable jumping in, you go. All right. So if we
you'll go first because I have to pull my list back.
Fine. That's why I keep mine on the phone. It's one swipe away.
Always keep them up.
Can we go reverse, please? Can we actually start at one, please? Because I feel like if we go backwards, like I already know that you don't have Doctor Strange in your top 10. So that's why I feel like if you go the opposite way, it's easy to be like, oh, okay, I can see that there. Because if you go 10, 9, 8, 7, it's going to be like.
Yeah, we can go opposite.
I just think it would be easier to comment on. That's all.
Okay. You guys are going to have to think of your list a lot faster, though.
Yeah, we got two other people.
We'll wing it.
Okay. My number one MCU movie, and we're just doing movies. And this is strictly based on personal preference. It's not like what we think it has the best acting or story or graphics or whatever. My favorite MCU movie has to be Captain America Winter Soldier. That's my number one.
That's in my top three.
I didn't ask.
It's up there for me. I like that movie a lot. My number one is Thor Ragnarok. I think, as we talked about, it sets up a lot of the emotion and the kind of trajectory that this universe has gone in, and it really showed that Thor is probably my favorite character in the entire MCU.
I like Korg.
Korg is great. If Korg got his own movie or TV show, I'd watch every second of it.
Korg and Meeg. Yeah.
Well, Meeg did. Yeah, he kind of got stomped on while we were jumping on the ship, so I've just been carrying him around for the past 4 hours. Oh, he's alive. He's alive, guys. What's your question, bro?
I was watching that last night. I'm sorry.
Love that movie.
All right.
He's freaking
dumb. Andrew, what's your number one?
I would agree. I mean, Thor Ragnarok, I mean, for almost the same reasons that Masala said, I think it made it allowable for comic book movies to be like fun again.
Make comic book movies fun again. What's your number one being?
You know, I really liked Endgame. Nah, just kidding. I'm going to go with Ragnarok as well. It's
Mara crushed. Wow. You guys are going to hate me for where I have it on my list.
No, but like I just 12. I didn't want to. Like Winter Soldier is up there, Civil War is up there, Guardians is in my top. The first Guardians is in my top.
All right, all right. We didn't ask you for your fucking. We're going in a fucking order right now. God,
my number two is Guardians of the Galaxy. I think the year 2014 was the pinnacle of the MCU when they released Captain America: Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy. Those are the two best movies in my opinion. The entire year 2014, they absolutely crushed it. Masala, what's your number two?
Do you think 21 is going to?
I said Masala. What's your number two?
I just have a follow up question to what you said.
Masala, what's your number two?
You just turn off his mic. my number two, I think I'd go Iron Man 1. It set up everything. It was one of, it really put me on the way of these movies, and it made me appreciate Robert Downey Jr. a lot more.
It's good. What do you guys have as your number two?
So I can't ask you if this year is going to rival that year?
Yeah, you can if you want.
Oh, but you're not going to answer it, though?
No, I would say 2014 would still probably come out on top.
Okay. I was saying if this year was going to rival because of what was coming out.
No, I don't. Because I haven't been that big on Black Panther or Falcon and Winter Soldier. I just didn't really.
But with like Shang-Chi and then like.
I don't know.
I'm just saying from the presence. I don't know.
Do you have, what's your number two though?
Civil War.
Yeah. What's your number two?
Damn it. Yeah, Civil War.
They're good movies.
They are.
Like, that's why when you go to a top five list, you're kind of hoping that everybody's is sort of similar.
Yeah.
Because that just means that the franchise is good. My number three is Civil War. Again, like, probably the best villain that we've gotten in the MCU thus far. Like, I would definitely put Zemo ahead of Loki, especially after what he did in Black Panther in Falcon and Winter Soldier. Like, Zemo's the dude. And that fight scene between or among Tony and Steve and Bucky, like, yeah, that's an all-time scene for me. What's your what's your number three, Masala?
Number three, I also have Civil War, so we don't even need to spend any more time on that.
I'm gonna have to go with the Avengers as my number three. First time again you had a cast like that together that it actually wasn't an abomination of their movie, and the way they kind of put that storyline together to really set up like where we are today, I think was amazing.
So. Yeah.
I'm going to go Guardians.
Good.
That's my three. Thought the soundtrack. That had to have been the first Marvel movie where the soundtrack was like, damn.
It's great.
Awesome. Wonderful.
It was so like random. Yeah. Like, because I think the way that they made that mixtape, they were like, these were just songs that we listened to on set. And then we were like, why don't we make them the songs that Peter listens to on his Walkman or whatever he was using.
I think it's the opposite. I think James Gunn was like, that was like part of his contract too, even for the second one and the third one. I mean, I think it's like literally like I'm picking the songs. Like
no, I know, but the reason.
No, I'm sure they were listening to it then, but I think
that's what they listened to.
Oh, I thought it was like it really was telling the story. Like he made it sound like he was like picking these specific songs because like when the second movie came out, that's why they were like, oh, what's the track list to kind of like see how the story like is being told, even like the music.
Yeah, even the soundtrack for the second one was
very good.
The songs that they picked, like Yondu's funeral.
Yeah.
Perfect song for that.
What did they play for Yondu's funeral?
What the hell is let's keep going down the list.
I like how this is my favorite. I had this conversation with my father last night. When you make a claim and then somebody asks for a little bit of clarification and you're like, oh, I don't know. Like, I'm not like pointing the finger at you, but I am saying, like,
I'm trying to get you this.
I love the song so much. What's the song? I don't know.
It's at the tip of my tongue, but one of my Spotify playlists is called Awesome Mixtape.
I will give you though, my number four is the Avengers again. It was the first time that we got to see all the characters put together and they crushed it. They knocked it out of the park. And then again, that reveal at the very end, it's like pitching a pants tent every time you see it.
Father and son, Cat Stevens.
Okay.
I think I remember playing that song in front of my dad once and he was like, Cat Stevens, Commie. I was like, oh, okay.
One way to find out. Masala, what's your number four?
I think I have Guardians 2 above Guardians, above Guardians 1.
Why?
I something in that movie just stuck out a little bit more. I do still like 1. Like, spoiler, it's coming up the next couple picks. But I just, like, you got a little bit more for me. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was... Yeah, I don't know exactly how to play it.
It's a bigger movie. And you get Kurt Russell in it, and you get the dynamic of like Gamora and Nebula are fighting each other. We get to find out a little bit more about Yondu as a character. Like, there's more to it.
Right.
But I still think like the first Guardians movie, not a perfect movie, but wasn't expecting anything. Like, blew my expectations away, and the soundtrack just like it, perfect. Chef's kiss. McMichael, do you have a number four?
Yeah, the first one.
The first Guardians?
Correct.
Ian, what about you? Do you have a number four?
My number four is going to be the Avengers.
Man after my own heart. My number five is the final Avengers, Endgame. I like Endgame more than Infinity War. I was watching it last night. I still think I like it more than Infinity War, but it's a close one. It's definitely a close one. But I would say to round off my top five, it would be Endgame at the bottom of that list.
Guardians 1. Yeah, I like I said, they're both great movies. They both have great soundtracks, and like anytime you can get more Thor is good for me.
That's true.
So number five gets a little bit rough for me right now. I'm kind of at odds end. So between five or six, I'm just gonna throw it out there right now. It's between Ant-Man and Doctor Strange for the next two movies.
Wow, that is very high for Ant-Man.
Again, before Ragnarok, again, it was your first comedic movie. Like I said, it wasn't originally supposed to be part of like the MCU, supposedly, when it was all like coming out. But like the acting cast for what they did, how it's all integrated, also, I enjoyed that movie.
Mian, do you have a number five?
Mar, I'm gonna spin off of you again. Endgame, just
fucking copycat. No, I know.
Like that for everybody else.
I was just about to say, yeah. It's like we're all picking from the same litter of movies. Think, it's not that much that can change.
But I think it's definitely going to get different after the fifth pick. But yeah. Endgame.
Number six, I put Infinity War. They're like one right after another for me. It's basically just one giant movie, but I like the ending better than the beginning. Number six, Masala?
Spider-Man, Homecoming. Like I said, when we were talking before, I think... For me, I never really fell in love with the Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield Spider-Mans. And for some reason, Tom Holland just did it for me. And then the reveal of the villain in that being the father of his love interest at the time. Like, I still remember like sitting in my dorm room with a couple of my friends showing it to him for the first time. And we two of us had already seen it. So we look over at just like watch his face drop as like he opens the door. It was awesome.
One of the best twists in the entire MCU would have been way more effective in like the 1950s, 1960s when interracial relationships were very uncommon because I was shocked to find a white man opening that door.
Yeah.
Michael, what's your number six?
This is where it gets into the limbo round with me, that as long as it's not the first Captain America, the second Iron Man, or the first two Thors, then anything else between now and 20 to 24 would be fine for me.
Okay. All right. Wow. First Captain America, you're not big on.
As I said, I think a million times to anybody who's ever had this conversation, if they cut out about the 45 minutes of the goddamn Broadway shit, like I I've seen it numerous times where now that like my fiance was watching a couple, like I think a couple weeks ago. And when the end came up, I was like, this a different movie? Like, I was like, I'm so mad at the middle of that movie that I don't even remember how great the end of that movie was.
Do you have a number six?
Well, it's Captain America, the First Avenger.
I like that movie a lot.
It's like Captain America, like that's my favorite superhero. Not just because like America, rah, rah, rah. Like it just, for,
he's also like I a love, great know, fucking hero though.
Right. But like, I mean, Chris Evans like played the hell out of his role. He played the hell out of Steve Rogers.
Yeah, but for the 45 part middle part,
it's not that long. It's really not that long. It might feel that long.
It does feel long, but it's
I like it too because I like the synergy. I like the whole like Hitler thing that they got going on.
We saw all 52 city stops, guys. I mean, I'm just saying
it wasn't that long. All of them.
You just, you know, like it's literally the scene. It's like Boston, New York,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. It's
Iraq or Germany, wherever we are now. France. World War II?
Yeah, haven't not we Iraq. Been?
Whatever.
Oh, yeah, Iraq, yeah.
No, I think all the Captain America movies are probably better than the other movies that have had multiple
I think they
iterations.
I think they
probably
almost all go backwards.
In terms of what you like the best, like you'd go Civil War, Winter Soldier, then the first
for
one
for them, and then if you go to again Iron Man, I don't think you can play that same tune. But
no, I think it's, it's 1-2 correct. Three.
Thor, exactly the same way.
I would go 3-1-2 for Thor.
Correct, because I mean 2 is an abomination. I mean all together.
Number 7 for me is Black Panther. I like the movie. I don't get all caught up in the like significance of it. I just think it's a badass movie. Do you have a number 7, Masala?
I put Infinity War 7.
There you go. What do you got, McMichael? Like I said, you still got really... that jumble. No First Avenger. Mian, anything for number 7?
I'm going to go a little wild here. Avengers Age of Ultron.
I like Age of Ultron as
I
well.
I thought, oh, man, he plays... who's he playing in The Office? Jesus.
Oh, James Spader.
Great character. Like...
did
up
a good
there
job.
In the villains.
Yeah. He
like, what does he say about like, keep your friends close and your enemies and try to figure out which one is which. And like, I don't know. Like he played the hell out of Ultron.
And that's another movie that I think gets a little bit too much hate. And I don't understand why. I guess people were like really upset with Joss Whedon at that moment at Marvel. And that was like his swan song was him doing Age of Ultron. I don't really have any problems with it.
Like
I mean,
trying to lift Mjolnir scene.
It's hilarious.
Pretty good.
It's great. And the introduction to Vision.
Yeah.
I think, again, guys, it's because of, like I said, who the villain is in the comic books versus the adaptation on the screen. Again, Ultron, it was, again, a much bigger issue and threat than even for an Avengers movie.
Like, I mean, what he was doing.
But what I just said, though, is like Kang the Conqueror is going to be an Ant-Man versus Kang is an Avengers issue.
Yeah.
Versus like same thing. Like Ultron was all the Avengers, but like his power and who he was a lot bigger than how they portrayed him in the movie.
Sure. My number 8, the Ocho, Iron Man. First Iron Man movie. One of my biggest fears in life is probably the first 20 minutes of Iron Man. Scared the hell out of me the first time I saw it. Gave me nightmares.
Well, do you plan on going to the Middle East?
No, but I mean, like, that shit could happen. Like, you get kidnapped and you're being held against your will and you have to, like, fight for your life.
Since you're here and we're laughing at this right now, because we made fun of this horror story thing with Mara a couple weeks ago on our podcast, when we talked about like driving in the hills of like Kentucky and shit that's in North America, he's talking about on another goddamn side of the continent, like on another continent.
The
somewhere.
Planet.
Yeah. Like that's what he's worried about, getting like Abu Dhabi kidnapped, like driving like to Barrington right now. Not.
It's more the caves than anything else. It just doesn't seem like a very sanitary work environment. Am I right? Am I wrong?
Moving on the list.
Yeah. Do you have a number 8, Masala?
I have Endgame in there. I think you have to watch both. I feel like you have to watch both of those movies. Every time I watch one of them, I have to watch the other. So I have them back to back on my list.
Yeah, I think it's really the only way to do it. We're again in your jumbled mess over there.
I'm just like,
no, it's fine. That's totally fine.
Really
it makes sense. You've got a top, you've got the bottom, and then you've got everything else in between.
Doctor Strange, number 8.
It's a good one.
Why do you dislike that movie so much, Nick?
It's not that I dislike the movie. I think I just don't
get it. It's because of his background on watching movies, isn't it, man?
I'm really not that big into the whole like Stephen Strange, Rachel McAdams dynamic. Like,
whoa. She's not really like.
I know.
Isn't she done?
Exactly. The whole thing just sort of doesn't do it for me. The villain I'm not big on. The Dormammu part I'm not huge on. I like Wong. I think Wong is good.
Give me a Dormammu. I've come to bargain.
Dormammu. I've come to bargain. That wasn't very good.
No, not as good.
The first one was good, but Jesus Christ.
Dormammu, I've come to bargain. Dormammu.
Dormammu.
Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
No.
That's more like
the ending was
like
a little better.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's
like the fucking Tick. What are we at? Number nine? My number nine, Black Panther. No.
No, you already said
Captain America, the First Avenger. I think it's a top 10 movie. I think it's, again, one of these like cornerstone movies that you built the MCU on, and it doesn't have many flaws to me.
So what number do you have Incredible Hulk at?
I have Incredible Hulk at 21.
I mean, okay.
But again, it's probably going to drop once I decide on where I want to put Black Widow. Masala, number nine?
Number nine, I have Winter Soldier. I feel like was I lowest on Winter Soldier out of everybody here?
Yeah, I think we're too low for Winter Soldier.
I think we're all within like the top five, I think, with that one.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I just didn't fall in love with that movie, and I had watched it right after the first Avenger, which I really didn't like. So it was kind of all...
Just the first fighting scene with Bucky and just going melee with that grenade launcher and that M16 was great.
Yeah.
I mean, every angle, nobody, he had every angle covered in that fight scene. Like, you couldn't get the drop on him. That was kind of great.
At least it makes the top 10, though.
The first two, I will say, the first two Captain Americas I had watched during my binge to try to catch up and watch all of them. And that was the only times I've watched them. So,
gotcha.
Could be influenced if I watch it again.
I would say, yeah, if you go back and watch Winter Soldier now and like understanding the context of who Bucky is and their whole background and everything, I think it makes for a much, much better movie. And that's the one that what's his name's in? Robert Redford, right? He's kind of like the villain.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he does a good job. I think he does a very good job to close out my top 10 or no, you have a number nine.
No, that's fine. Mara. That's fine. Sure. Asshole. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm
how about this? How about you give us your 9 and 10? You get to lead off number 10.
No, it's fine. I'm with Masala. Number 9 would be the Winter Soldier.
I thought he already said Winter Soldier like way earlier. I thought he said it when I said it.
I said Civil War.
Civil War.
I guess First Avenger. I don't know, maybe because that's just our first like appearance of Captain America. I don't know, but it's not that I thought really. I mean, I love the Captain America movies really equally. Like, I'll watch any of them. I'll probably watch one more than the other, but I mean, it's in my top 10. It's not that I thought it was bad. I mean, the fight scenes in it were incredible. The opening was great. Captain America just running around a ship beating the shit out of people, but you know, and I thought Natasha's role was great. Anthony Mackie, who's like my second to Chris Evans, I freaking love the Falcon, and I love Anthony Mackie. I'm glad that they passed the mantle to him instead of Bucky, but
yeah.
It's not that I really thought anything was better than it. It's where it is. Wow. It's in my top 10.
See, like, I say this about The Empire Strikes Back, where, like, people talk about Star Wars, and they say, well, Star Wars is a good movie franchise, but if you want to watch, like, a good movie, you watch The Empire Strikes Back. Yeah. If you want to watch a good movie from the MCU, you show someone Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
I'm such a Return of the Jedi.
I like it, but I think is quality of film.
No, I get what you're saying. No, I get.
I would go.
Same thing. Godfather. You haven't watched it, but the Godfather movies, same thing.
Yeah.
One is a great story, but two is
like everybody says it's better.
And third is just.
Yeah. My number 10 to close out the top 10, Age of Ultron. Again, I like it. I liked Aaron Taylor Johnson as Pietro.
That might be my only beef with that movie, though.
Was that the casting? On,
I think just the way that they kind of introduced them. I'm not saying I didn't like them. I just think that the way that they kind of introduced them on top of everything else that was kind of going on, just wasn't a fan of.
It did sort of make them have less of an impact, I think, by making them like, oh, they got their powers from the scepter and they're twins in there.
But it was like a sub, like you said, it was like sub to, yeah. Wait, you got this fucking android getting, you know, right. Vibranium in, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, and yeah. For us now yeah. to know what Scarlet Witch is capable yeah. of, it's yeah. like yeah. they really did her wrong in that movie.
But not, no, because, I mean, if you go back to it, I mean, you get the first taste of the spoon when she like literally destroys all the robots at the end. Like when Pedro dies and she loses her shit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the first taste of being like, oh, that bitch is kind of powerful.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Number 10, Masala.
Number 10, I have the first Ant-Man. I think just for me in general, if you look at my top 10, I think five or six of them have all been more of the comedic movies in these franchises. So I think that's where I'm sticking on my number 10.
Thank you, Masala, because it's a fucking comic book, right? I mean, I know, like, if you wanted to watch, like, hardcore action, that's what you got, like, James Bond and Mission Impossible for. Like, I mean...
I
if you want slapstick, you got DC, you know what I'm saying? Like
I am a very big fan of Paul Rudd. I think he does the job of Scott Lang fantastically. I just don't look at the Ant-Man movies as
but
being
Michael
on
Pena by himself should have his own TV.
I want to
what if Michael Pena
was TV, Ant-Man?
Yeah, no, like but I want him just to break down shows like how he does his breakdown. Like I want yeah. a show just for him to
he's
do
like my cousin man so she's like cool
yes.
all right
yeah. yes I just want a cartoon like that. That's what I want.
What's your number 10 man?
Infinity War.
Yeah, you gotta get I think anybody that doesn't have two out of the four Avengers movies that we've had, any two out of the four in their top 10 probably doesn't know what they're talking about. Someone that doesn't have one of the Guardians movies in there doesn't know what yeah. they're talking about. And then one of the final two Captain America movies, I would say those are like three of the franchises where it has to dominate your top 10.
It's interesting to see them lose.
But yeah,
like, that's, you know.
But like Infinity and Endgame to the premise of that story and the lead up, like I said, anybody knows I was couldn't be the happiest kid on earth. Okay. Yeah. I was let down.
I know you were let down because of what your expectation. You were so excited.
Also
what let you down about it?
Like as we talked about, not having like Adam Warlock, like not having like okay, some of the like for making it a two part to not have some of like the real story of why you made this movie again, like it kind of just disappointed me a little bit. Mm. You did a lot of the lead ups and a lot of the other scenes were great, but like not having a major antagonist because again, you fucking got mad at James Gunn tweets fucking 10 years ago, like fucked it up.
Yeah.
Because Guardians 3 would have probably came out before that and then it would have made more sense.
Probably.
Correct.
Yeah.
But as we've seen right now, whatever. I mean, hey, still making billions of dollars.
That's true.
Making money.
Well, I don't know what episode number we're on now, because I don't know if this is going to be coming out as the second half of an episode or its own episode special altogether. Edition. Probably going to be a special edition like that. But 40
variant 48 cover 48.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to tell you a story.